Last week, we heard the rather strange tale of Jonah. Jonah is often referred to as one of the minor prophets of the Old Testament, since the book that contains his story is quite short. Jonah's initial reaction to his call to be a prophet was, understandably, to flee. But when God made it clear that there was no place where Jonah could go to hide from God's presence, Jonah went to Nineveh, gave the worst sermon on the need for repentance ever, but still managed to change the hearts of the entire population, including the king. Jonah is one of the rare successful prophets in all of the Hebrew scriptures. Today we turn to a major prophet and a more complicated view and situation and life of a prophet. Today we turn to Isaiah and to the beginning of Isaiah's call and his initial response to that call, which also is quite different than Jonah's. We should be reminded that the work of the prophet was and is a heavy one, serious and full of hazards. Both Jonah and Isaiah knew that. The prophet was often the one who told the people that they were doing it wrong and that they needed to do things differently, that they were off course from the ways of the God they worshiped. Isaiah's call to be a prophet came at a dire time. King Uzziah had died after 5 decades of rule. Life and circumstance were certainly feeling precarious. What would happen next? The threatening presence of the Assyrian Empire was very real and exceedingly daunting. At the time of Isaiah 6, the Assyrians were the most formidable army of all time, with advanced weaponry, massive economic support, and a penchant for psychological warfare. In contrast, Jerusalem was a city with hastily erected defenses, filled with refugees from the countryside and other captured cities. There, in the midst of this uncertain situation, Isaiah felt and heard the call of God and answered in a very different way from Jonah. Instead of running from the difficulties and the gravity of the situation, Isaiah pulled himself together, faced his fear of inadequacy, and declared, "Here am I. Send me." It's already a powerful response. Given the circumstances, it is even more so. Now today, this morning, we could spend a lot of time considering Isaiah's call, thinking about the place and time of Isaiah and reflecting on this declaration of call as a prophet for people feeling small and on the brink of losing everything. But I'd like to turn from Isaiah's particular call and his response of "Here am I, send me," to our own situation at the start of a new week after what was for many, if not all of us, a strange, difficult, disappointing, surprising, perhaps even shocking week. No matter who you voted for last Tuesday, if you had paid attention to pundits or the media, you were likely surprised by the outcome. For some of us, it was especially painful to feel so close to breaking that very present glass ceiling, envisioning this country's first female president, and then to see it slip away. In my own house, I don't think we've quite recovered from an experience that we've never experienced before. On Wednesday, both Joe and I found ourselves not only perplexed, but disappointed. We have never both been disappointed after a presidential election. I actually don't know who Joe voted for, but I know it wasn't for Hillary Clinton, nor was it for Donald Trump, whose rhetoric regarding democratic processes has been more than troubling for a political theorist and professor of American constitutional law. Today, I wonder how we gather today in this place, how we are feeling about our own sense of call and our own response to that call, especially given the circumstances in which we now live. Are we feeling like we want to run and hide, like Jonah? Or perhaps feeling that it's time to see if Canada would like to adopt us? Wouldn't Maine make a great Florida of Canada? Particularly in our own church context, we are likely feeling a little small and perhaps as if we don't have much to say because we don't have much authority or power, or like anyone would be all that interested in hearing what we have to say, even if we, in our own diversity of perspective, could find a common voice with which to speak. Well, welcome to Isaiah's world. Isaiah felt small, and we too feel small. We may feel also inadequate, unclean, not up to the challenge, ill-prepared, overwhelmed, insecure, weary, etc. Turns out, though, that none of those things is an adequate response in the eyes of the God we are here to worship. No matter how you voted on Tuesday, I suspect we are all coming to the realization that we live in a deeply divided country. Maine, too, demonstrated deep division through Tuesday's election. As a church, as a people of faith, as people of the unfolding story of God and God's people, we have work to do to love, to hope, to heal, to speak, and to listen, to let go of our assumptions and to move forward, to pay attention, to learn, to grow, and perhaps even to stand up and to march. We have work to do. And the excuses that perhaps some of us would like to turn to, that we are not up to the challenge, that we feel ill-prepared, overwhelmed, insecure, unclean, inadequate, none of them is an adequate excuse in the eyes of the God we are here to worship. I'd like to share with you now a portion of what the United Church of Christ Board had to offer in the aftermath of the election. I thought it was a nice piece. I'm not going to read all of it, but I thought it summed up some of the things that I'd been thinking about during the week. United in spirit and inspired by God's grace, we love all, welcome all, and seek justice for all. Our country and its citizens once again successfully elected a new leader. As we gather to worship this weekend, we will find among us many who are celebrating the decision that was reached and many who are mourning it. We are, by all measured, a deeply divided people. Because this election sharply separated us over matters of race, gender, human sexuality, faith, economic inequality, and political persuasions, we all bear a heavy burden moving forward. It is our call, our shared mission, to heed the call of God's Spirit and to work to repair damages in our deeply wounded and fiercely broken body. As the United Church of Christ, we will live into our vision, united in Christ's love, a just world for all. We are built to heal bodies broken and divided. This is our calling. Our core values of love, hospitality, and justice for all must be fully embraced in the days to come. It could well be that we are called into being for just such a time as this. The officers and Council of Conference Ministers of the United Church of Christ call upon the church to seek a pathway that envisions a just world for all. Those who celebrate this election must show a humility that honors the pain of those whose dreams were dashed by the outcome. Those who grieve must find the courage and hope found in a faith not in earthly power, but in the redemptive love of our risen Christ. It is with this humility and faith that we can fulfill our mission to build a just world for all. We stand in the face of fear and hate and proclaim that love wins. We rise up and respond to public derision of the other with a full embrace of and warm welcome for all God's beautiful children. We confront the injustices of the powerful with a steady drumbeat of justice. It seems appropriate to remember the words of the civil rights activist and songwriter James Weldon Johnson. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light. Keep us forever in the path, we pray. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand, true to our God, true to our native land. We now must stand, true to our God and true to our native land. Let what we do in this time help both America and our denomination become what each name aspires to, a United States of America and the United Church of Christ. And may it be our love of, our welcome to, and our justice for all that unites us. The work of the prophet is a heavy one. It is serious and full of hazard. May we know that, but not turn away, for there are things for us to tell. There is work for us to do. There is faith to be lived and breathed and made real. Praise be to God. Amen.